I've got too many things in my head this morning for you. So you're going to have to excuse me because you're going to have to just catch the froth on the top. Well, that's what it feels like from my point of view. I want to talk to you about God's favour. Do I need to do something in the microphone, Nick? Is that better? Might that do? No, that won't do. Not quite there. Do I need to go higher? Lower? That better? I do prefer this. I'm sorry to cause the PA guys a problem, but it doesn't leave my hands free to wave at you. Do you want me to go to the hand mic? Is that going to be better? Keep going. Right, I want to talk to you about God's favour. Because I think it actually links in with what Graham's been talking about boldness and the anointing for boldness. Would it just be easier if I go on to the other mic? Because it's going to drive me nutty, let alone what it does to you. So keep going. All right. I've been thinking about this. I've been quizzing God for the last few months about his favour. And I just want to share with you, if you like, some of my conversation with God. Except I won't do it like my conversation with God, if you understand. But if I'm talking, you hear it as my conversation with God and some of the things I feel like he said to me, showed me, revealed to me. It's not the whole job. I haven't got all the answers. And there's many times when I'll just go, I don't know. And it's for you to go away and ask God about the bits I haven't got the answers to yet, the questions that I haven't asked yet that you might ask, because we're all different, aren't we? And so it does feel like a sort of unfinished work, but I actually felt last night as I was just looking over my notes, thinking, actually, I could do a whole series on this from the thoughts that I've had so far, let alone just one morning. So just bear with me. The reason I'm sort of talking about God's favour, it was started actually, and I can't remember how many years ago, I haven't stopped to look, but a few years ago, Graham Cook, one of the prophets that sort of comes through our network every so often, said, this is the year of the Lord's favour. And we picked that up, and for, I would say, at least a year, if not 18 months, 2 years perhaps, we kept saying to one another, this is the year of the Lord's favour. Now, as I look back now to that year, or that 18 months, I'm not sure that I really took hold of God's favour very well. I certainly didn't ask the questions that I've been asking this year, which doesn't mean to say I was wrong then and I'm right now, but I didn't get hold of it like a dog with a bone and chew at it. I just said, yeah, that's fine, God's favour. Yeah, I'll have a bit of that. That's okay. We move forward. But this year, what happened that set me off again was at a conference, and the guy who was speaking was talking about us being able to make decrees. He said, God says things and he does them. But there are times when we can say things and God agrees with what we say and he does it. Now that is a little bit boggling to you, and it was at the time, but I sat there going, this is blowing my brains out slightly on the one level, because I can't understand how I could look at something and go, well, I'd like that to happen, and God could agree with that and do it. So there's that part of me, that little bit. And I've sort of got hold of that and went, well, I want to understand a bit more of that. The next day, the same guy talked about, it is the time of God's favour. And then he kept saying this all the way through, and this has been in my head for the last 4 or 5 months. In the time of favour, he said, ask for favour. And the time of favour is now. Now that little phrase, and he sang it, and I'm not going to try and sing it to you. Perhaps Matt could? No, but it's not. But he kept singing it all the way through his preach, he kept singing it. So all the way in my head for the last 5 months, I've had, in the time of favour, ask for favour, and the time of favour is now. The only trouble was that as he talked about it's a time of favour and ask for favour, he slightly blew his own preach to some of us anyway. Or there was part of it, because although he talked about favour as being all sorts of things, he ended up telling a couple of stories about favour that were connected to money and possessions and wealth, that to some of us sitting there were just a little bit, I don't know that I could go there. I'm not sure that I agree with what you did. But I'm sitting there going, that just makes me go a little bit, ouch. Because he was just asking for more than I would dare ask for, if you like. But I sat there going, but God, I my spirit and my head are agreeing with so much else he said. I can't chuck out what he's saying just because this particular story is making me go, ouch. And so I sort of took this away, and I've been mulling over, chewing it over, nagging God a bit about it, if I'm allowed to nag God, just to say, well, how does this work? And I think one of the things I've realised is that there's two stories that he told that made me go a little bit, ooh, but came out of a huge depth of relationship this guy has with God. There's no doubt that when we listened to him, that he knew God well, he walked with God, God listened to him, he was a friend of God, he was honoured by God, he was respected. His whole life is godly honoured. So when he's asking God for things that you and I would go, I'm not sure I could do that, it's out of relationship. And you know, the great thing is that he asked and God did it. And he could have asked and God could have said, you've overstepped the mark, mate, you can't have that bit. No, that's far too far. But God didn't. God gave it to him. And so I have to assume that he's heard something that I haven't yet heard. And that's part of why I've been pressing into God, because not that I want all that this guy's got, but there are things that I want that I haven't yet seen that I'm after. So that's the sort of like the basis of it. And how I'm going to get there, I have no idea. So let's see what God happens. So I came back asking God about this favour, and I began to look at all sorts of things in a different way, because one of the things this guy said to us was, if it is a time of favour, you need to look for favour. You need to look for favour. Otherwise, we miss it. And I've been asking God, I don't know about every morning, I'd like to tell you it was every morning, but I don't think I'm quite that spiritual. But I have been asking God an awful lot to show me where his favour is. What it looks like, how it touches me, how it touches you. And so I'm just going to tell you a few things. I'm going to try and be quick, although it might not be quite as quick as I want to be. But just some of the things that have touched me in this, where's this favour about? I've got loads of things here, and it's definitely not finished yet, and this is definitely not in the order of importance. But as I looked at favour, and I got out my search mechanism, my Bible on my computer, and put in favour. The first time the word favour comes up in the NLT, I think it is. I looked in different versions, the New Living Translation. It comes up, Noah was the first guy that it said found favour with God. And when Noah found favour with God, it resulted in him being saved from the flood. I thought that was quite interesting, isn't it? There was a result of him finding favour was salvation. And equally, then if you translate that into the New Testament, we find favour with God through Jesus, and salvation is a result. Another example of favour that I found was when Moses was having a conversation with God, a bit like me, where's your favour, God? How's this going to show itself? And he actually then went on to ask to see the glory of God. And this is what Moses said at one point. How will anyone know that you look favourably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence amongst us sets your people and me apart from all people on the earth. So God's favour has a showing, if you like, in his presence. And I just think that for all of us, that those two things are with us no matter what life goes, what happens in our lives. Whether it's good, it's bad, it's comfortable, it's uncomfortable. Whether we have possessions, whether we don't have possessions. Whether God's doing what we asked him to do, or whether it seems as though he's totally not. Actually, we can walk in the knowledge of salvation and in the blessing of salvation. And we can walk in the knowledge and the blessing of God's presence. So for me, those two were really important things. Another one is peace. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. I came across another one in Proverbs. A good name is rather to be chosen than riches, and a loving favour rather than silver and gold. It's favour, loving favour, and a good name better than all these other things. The thing I keep banging on and banging on and banging on about over the last 2 years, I think, is the unfailing love of God. I've got three verses written down here, but actually there are oodles and oodles and oodles and oodles, if you weren't convincing, that God's unfailing love keeps on coming and keeps on coming. It's a bit daft, isn't it, to say his unfailing love keeps on coming, but do you know, we forget it, don't we? It's so easy when we are feeling a little bit uncomfortable, when life's pressured, when we don't get the answers we want, when things seemingly go wrong, to think God's love has stopped coming to us, or he has stopped loving us. But it just is so not true, because God's favour shows itself to us in his unfailing love. What else could I say? Another one. Favour comes as refreshment. When the king smiles, there is life. His favour refreshes like a spring rain. I like that one. I like that one. Shall I read that one again? Because I just think that when the king smiles, there is life. His favour refreshes like spring rain. Those are a few things that just are, as it were, outworkings of God's favour. But I was chewing over this thing about favour and wealth and prosperity and money, because that was the area where this guy was talking that was making me and one or two others go, not sure about this. And I was asking God about this and going, is it all right to ask for money? Is it all right to ask for prosperity? Is that all right? And I immediately went back to one of my very, very favourite chapters in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, where it talks about the blessings of God, and then it goes on to actually talk about the curses of God. But it says at the beginning of that chapter, which I haven't got, no, yes you have, I've got it written down here, it says you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And then it goes on to talk about all the blessings that there are to be had if you obey God. And it talks about your cities, your towns will be blessed, your children, your crops, your fruit baskets, your bread boards, all sorts of things. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking, actually, God was saying to the Israelites, if you obey me, you will be fruitful. You will have lots of things. Now, it doesn't quite translate into our life, does it? That our crops and our herds will be blessed, that our fruit baskets and our bread boards will be blessed directly, because for them they were growing crops, they were rearing herds, which isn't quite what we do today, but I think that there's that sense of, for me, of God saying, what you have I am going to bless and increase. And there's a number of stories in the Old Testament, if you look, where as the people moved and walked with God, that their herds grew. What they had, their possessions grew. And so there's part of me going, okay, you know, I've got a little thought here that actually something God has said is he wants to bless us. But then I go, jumping into the New Testament, don't store your treasures on earth, Jesus told us. And I almost feel like I'm in a bit of a dilemma here. God says, I'm going to give you all this. But Jesus says, don't store your treasures up. And you see, it's a little bit tricky, all these things, isn't it? Because it depends which side of the thing you're for. But I think that as I look in the New Testament, that we're told to hold these things and hold them lightly. But Paul said, I'm content whether I have much or I have little. And I think that, for me, is the key when it comes to wealth and prosperity, that having things is okay. But if they become the most important thing in your life, when they are more important than your relationship with God, we've got it wrong. And so looking back at this guy who was talking about getting things and money and stuff and asking God about financial stuff that is so beyond my league, my brain goes, don't understand the noughts. Matt might understand all the noughts. But do you know what I mean? There's things there that I go, I have to trust God that this guy's relationship with him is such that he can handle that. And that comes underneath his relationship with God, if you like. And so for us, I think there's a real challenge to us to be able to handle the wealth that we have. And undoubtedly, even the poorest amongst here are wealthy in comparison with much of the world. And we have to hold whatever we are given at this time really well. I don't feel like I've got my head straight here to talk about all this stuff, but I am talking you through my thinking rather than giving you a nice whatever. Another thought that I had in the midst of this year about this favour of God, and it links in again to this guy, is that we have to understand who God is in order to be able to ask for his favour. Because I think many of us don't see God for who he really is. You know, we're told in the Old Testament, we are made in the image of God. So, you know, God looks down and he sees a reflection of him. But like if you have a reflection in water of yourself, if you reflected it back again, you wouldn't get you out of the water, would you? Especially if it's a bit ripply and a bit bubbly and you've got other things going on. And I think the same is true for us, that we are made in the image of God. But when we look back at God, if we're not careful, we look back at him with our own image in the way. Does that make sense? So rather than seeing this great big God, somehow we see him looking a bit like us, perhaps a little bit bigger than us, but that's about as far as it goes. And I think that one of the statements that was made a couple of years ago to us here was, and I've heard it again since, is take the limits off of God. Because if you're not careful, we put God into this box of he's a bit bigger than man, he's a bit bigger than me. And then we get stuck then because we're asking him for Lee's healing. We're asking him for money that we haven't got. We're asking him for good relationships. We're asking him for whatever it is that you're asking him. And go, oh, but he can't really do that, can he? Oh, he doesn't really want to do that. And I think that if we're looking to ask for God's favour, and if it's time of favour, we've got to get a much bigger view of who God is. Because God can do the impossible. We've read that. We know that because we've seen it. We might not have seen very much. We might not have seen as much as we should have seen or could see or God wants to show us. But we know that, don't we? Does that make sense to you? That we somehow sort of limit him by our own thinking. And so as I'm thinking about God's favour, I'm having to go, well, I'd like to ask you to do this. I'd like to ask you to do that. But, oh, of course, you won't want to do it. You don't want to do it. You can't do it. There's other things going on. And I'm having to go back and go, hang on a minute. I'm just going to ask you because you're a great big God. And you're quite well able to say no to me. More than able to say no to me. So, one of the very funny things I was thinking about this week is that I often ask God for car parking spaces when I'm going places because I don't like having to faff about, basically. I think it's one of those things I've often asked for, God's often provided, and I'm very grateful for. But I know not everybody thinks you should do this. I've never really got into conversations about why they shouldn't, but I'm okay with that. But I began to think about it the other day. I think, do I think God's favour is upon me when I get my car parking space? Absolutely. I'm very grateful and I always say thank you and that's great. But what happens if my parking space isn't where I hope it will be? Do I then go, God's not listened to me today? God's favour is fallen out with me? Do I begin to think, you know, perhaps I've sinned and, you know, I've been knocked out of the kingdom? It's a bit of a challenge. But actually, I was thinking, no, because sometimes we only see a little bit. And this is where you've got to take the limits off God, because if we only see, well, I want that parking space just there, that would just be so nice for me, because then I've got this, and that to do. But actually God says, well, I want you to have that parking space over there, because actually there's somebody I want you to meet as you walk from that car to wherever you're going. And they need you. You don't know that when you're asking for this one. But when you get there and walk across the car park, you might just notice it. And as I thought that, I thought, do you know, I don't think I ever think, I've never had that thought in a car park ever. So I'm going to start saying that to God. I'm going to start, will you give me a car parking space to suit me and my needs, but also maybe to suit your needs and other people's needs. Another little story I had about, which helped me to see this thing about in a time of favour, ask for favour. Jonathan and I had to go to Falmouth a couple of weeks ago. And I had to drive there on the Sunday afternoon. Then on the Monday morning, I had to drive back to near Swindon. And don't do a lot of driving normally. And I was very, very tired. And the thought of driving to Cornwall, you know, on a summer weekend, you know, it's the most stupid thing you could do, isn't it? But the trains didn't work out to send Jonathan on the train, so we had to do this. And as we got in the car, as we often do when we go on a journey, we pray, and I just said, Lord, I'd really like your favour on the road today. I'd like it around me, I'd like it in front of me, I'd like it for all the cars around me so that I just get there. And so off we went, and we went find for a start, and then we got to near Birmingham, and the heavens opened, and I've never seen so much rain for a long time, although we have seen quite a lot of rain, but this was just like many cats and dogs sort of sail absolutely straight down, so much so that I was doing about 30 miles an hour on the motorway, along with everybody else that I could see anyway, thank goodness. And as we were driving through this, I'm saying to Jonathan, this is God's favour. And I think he thought I was a little bit nutty at that moment. And I said, well, it's just so favourable because there are no nutters on the road at this moment in time around me. And I've been down that particular stretch of motorway in the fog when we haven't been able to do more than 30 and had people going past us at silly speeds. So, you know, I've seen it. And so we just said, thank you, Lord, may this continue. Rain stopped and we carried on. Got a bit further down the motorway and there was a huge queue suddenly appeared on the opposite carriageway. And I'm going, oh, I'm so glad that's not on my carriageway. And we had no idea what that caused that one, but it was a little, quite a way of traffic. So again, I went, thank you, Father. You know, I'm really glad that my side of the road at the moment is continuing as it is. I could do the speed limit whenever I wanted. Got a bit further down, and we saw a fire engine with its lights flashing going up the other way, the other carriageway. And I said to Jonathan, it's really unusual. You don't see fire engines usually on the motorway with its lights flashing. Next thing we know, there's a mega accident that happened on the other side of the road that this was obviously going from rather than to. And the cars were obviously piled up miles behind. And I'm just going, thank you so much, Lord, that this isn't on my side of the road. And then they'd shut the motorway and there was more queues of traffic, blah, blah. But our side of the road, we got all the way to Falmouth. I never once was stopped from doing the speed I was happy to do, apart from when it was raining and when I was very grateful that everybody else did it. On the Monday, I drove to Swindon and again, no problem whatsoever. And I was very, very grateful. In fact, when I texted Jonathan going, I had a really good journey, he texted me back going, God obviously smiling on you, he said. And but as I was reflecting on this when I got to my daughter-in-law's, I was thinking, what would I have felt like if I'd been on the other side of the road? And I'd been stuck in traffic, and they'd obviously been stuck there quite a long time because there were people out of their cars, chatting with people in their cars. By the time we saw the accident, the roof was off the car, so it had obviously happened quite some time before. And I thought, would I have still felt God's favour? And I honestly cannot tell you the answer to that because I might not have been quite so generous with my God's, thanking God for his God's favour. But actually, having said that, a few weeks before, we were sat on the motorway, a number of us, in a queue of traffic due to another accident. And although we were a bit fed up, because it was the hottest day of the year, my air conditioning was not working, and it was just a tad hot. I didn't grumble at God. I didn't say, where are you now? I did, you know, we just thanked God really that we weren't in the accident, that we were okay, and it did take us a little bit longer. But it actually made me realise this thing about in a time of favour, ask for favour. When the road was good, I kept asking for it. And there's something about blessing the part of life that you're rolling along in. Not just for me, because actually everybody else on my carriageway enjoyed the favour of God that day. And so that's just one of those little things. But one of the things that I was really struck by as I was looking at this word favour was that when I looked in my search thing for the Bible, the word favour only seems to come up in the Old Testament. And at some point I went, that's really bizarre. I can't remember how many, I didn't do a note of how many, but it just doesn't really happen in the New Testament. I was saying to God, why is that? And then I'm a little slow, as I've told you before. I suddenly realised that grace is a favour word. Now, I know that. If you'd asked me what grace means, I'd have said it's an undeserved favour. But as I've been whittling at God about favour all this time, I haven't connected this word grace and the word favour until this moment. And suddenly all sorts of things came sort of into view, if you like, because the first thing that happened was God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. God's favour, not just to me, not just to you, but to a whole people. And then all sorts of other things come into view, don't they? Because we now live in the favour of God. And so when Jesus read the Isaiah 61 word when he was in the temple, he said, he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and all the other things. And he said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And we know that he was declaring it was about him coming. But it is about this, the favour that God was showing us by Jesus coming. And in fact, in the NLT, the New Living Translation, that particular phrase is translated as, he has sent me to tell that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And I think when I first heard this thing about the year of the Lord's favour, we think in our human minds, a year, time, space, 12 months. You know, maybe when we think about God in a year, we know that his year doesn't quite fit our year, but so maybe a year could be 2 years. We could possibly stretch it to 3 years. But if Jesus was declaring when he was on the earth, it was the time of the Lord's favour, and God's still reminding us today that it is the time of the Lord's favour, you know, a year could be whatever, couldn't it? So let's not chuck the favour out that is there. Let me see what I haven't said. So, coming in with Jesus, we've now got favour showing itself as forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life, health. When you look in Isaiah 53, it's by his stripes we are healed. He was whipped that we might be made whole. There's all sorts of things there that Jesus opened the door to. And so favour can come in. I don't know whether you're catching something of what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know that I'm doing it very well. But do you hear that God's favour isn't a limited thing? It doesn't come in, you know, as sometimes we feel like, only in terms of our money, in terms of our possessions. But that is a part of it. But favour's coming at us all over the place. And I'd really like to encourage you to go away from here and to think about God's favour in your life. To look at where God's favour is touching you at the moment. Perhaps even go back and look at where God's favour has touched you in the past. It's a bit of those count your blessings moments. But for me, as I've been looking at this favour of God, I've realised how much we spend our time, if we're not careful, whittling about what we haven't got, what God hasn't yet done, what we daren't ask him for, what other people haven't done, and we're down the really negative route. Now, you know me, most of you anyway, know that I don't like going down the negative route, and I spend as little time in the negative as I possibly can do. And so for me, the counting your blessings, seeing God's favour, is really, really important. But what happens, as I say, about when favour isn't shown? And the Old Testament doesn't really talk much about where favour isn't shown, because it talks about if you obey, these things happen. The end of Deuteronomy 28 is, if you are not obeying me, all these curses come. Now, we are not, as Matt read at the beginning, we are not under the law, so all those things aren't there. But that's God's heart, is that he wants to bless. And actually, if we're not walking with him, I don't know that he actually heaps those things on us, but I think they are part of the law of the way he set up the world, is that when we're not obeying, these things happen to us. That's the way I see it, and that might not be totally right. But in the New Testament, you hear something quite different. You keep hearing, and I do mean to keep to actually make a list of this, and I'm so glad Christine's not here, because she'll hit me when I'm going to quote my next verse, is about, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when trials and tribulations come your way. That doesn't necessarily fit with favour, does it? And yet, all the way through the New Testament, there is this little thing running through about suffering, about trials, about difficulties, about this. And so there's something in there that we need to go, God's favour and his grace doesn't always transpire into a comfortable, easy, prosperous, wealthy lifestyle. But I think that we need to look at God's favour beyond that and go, in the midst of the difficulties, where is God's favour? I was thinking actually about Jill and her mum, who's was diagnosed with cancer in this year, and that is not what you want, and that didn't look like God's favour at the very beginning. It looked anything but God's favour. But actually, as you talk to Jill, as you talk to her mum, you hear where God's favour has been time and time and time and time and time again. Mandy, when she had a diagnosis of cancer, I mean, it was a little black, wasn't it, Mandy, that particular day? It was, but out of that diagnosis, you are in such a better place. Again, you've heard, a lot of you have heard a bit of Mandy's story, but there are definitely, God's favour has shown and shown and shown and shown. So if we only look at the bit we don't like, the bit we don't want, the bit we'd love to chuck in the rubbish dump, could we possibly do it? If our eyes are only focused on that, we miss so many things that happen. I mean, one of the things I was thinking with like the cancer stuff this year we've had, when I was thinking about Lee, the fact that he's nearly 3 years from his first diagnosis of a tumour, is God's favour. It is God's favour. And there are stories, as Matt was saying, there are stories where we've known God's been there. Now, we haven't, you know, today it doesn't look like God's favour, but we're still praying and asking God to complete what he started, for God's favour to show it in a particular way of good health. But with Sarah, another friend who we've been praying for chemo, she's gone through chemo this year, and Lena, both have struggled with their blood counts when they've come to the day of chemo. And they've got to have, I don't know what part of it is, somebody might tell me, but they've got to have the blood count right at the right point in order for them to have chemo. And Sarah particularly had month after month after month where her blood count was very low, and they were going, oh, well, if it doesn't pick up, you're not going to be able to have it. And that delays everything, and then, you know, the knock-on effect. And each time we prayed for God to sort her blood count out, miraculously, as far as she's concerned, she gets to the hospital on the day of her chemo and her blood count's right. Lena had the same thing the last time she had her chemo. Her blood count was down. Jill sent a little message around to a few people and said, pray, and there it was right. Now, in the grand scheme of things, our human brains go, well, God ought to sort all this out anyway. But unfortunately, he seems to allow us to go through some of these nasty things and the things we don't like. But there in the midst of it, these people have known, and we've known, God's touch that has just moved it through, helped it through. Now, I could tell you all sorts of stories. Oh, I'll just tell you one very funny story about this. The other good thing this guy said was about, in a time of favour, ask for favour, and the time of favour is now. Go away with that in your head now, except I can't sing it to you. The other thing he was saying was, in a time of rain, ask for rain. And when he was talking about this at the time, I'm thinking, not quite sure I understand that bit. Can't quite see what he's getting at. But I logged it as a little thought. And Jonathan had his birthday party a couple of weeks ago, and we were off up the motorway to Chatsworth Park for a picnic and for his friends and him to go in the river. And as we're getting popped up the motorway, this huge, dirty, great, big, black cloud, you could see in the distance, I would say, right over Chatsworth Park, from my view. Not quite sure if it really was, but it was a dirty, great, big one. And it was the week where we had a lot of heavy rain. And I'm going to Jonathan, I think we're just driving into that little rain cloud over there. And he was going, no, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. So I said, okay, right. Well, I'm sure we're going to drive through that. Let's hope we drive through it and out the other end. So we do exactly that. We drive right through this mega rain storm. Sam, his mate, texts from the other car, it's raining. And we're going, yes, it is. And as I'm driving through this, I'm saying, Lord, I really don't want to have to sit and eat my picnic in the car in the rain with however many guys we had, 10, was it? 10 lads we had. This would just not be very good. Could you just make sure the rain stops so we can eat our picnic outside? Having said that, I then went, Lord, and could the next time it rains, could it possibly be when we've got back in the car on our way home? That would be really nice. And so we got to Chatsworth, pulled into the car park. By this time, the sky was blue. And we sat and had our picnic and everything, and it was lovely. And as we walked down to the river, it actually did start to rain, but this time it was just a little drizzle. We hid under a tree and it passed, and we had the most fantastic afternoon. Christine Gear was down to a t-shirt, and for those who know Christine Gear, you can see that it was not raining and it was not cold. It was a definite blessing of God. And it just made that little thought of, in the time of rain, ask for rain. In the time of favour, ask for favour. So even though it was raining, and I was saying, yeah, okay, it maybe has to rain a bit more, but could we have it this way? But there's this thing about asking God for things that maybe part of me goes, I'm not sure I should really ask for rain not to be, because we do need the rain. But actually, I just like this little moment of favour. So I think I probably ought to stop. I think I've sort of talked my way around some of these things. I really don't know if that makes sense to you. I don't know whether I've stirred you. But I really hope that you'll go away from here just looking for God's favour. Asking for God's favour. An important thing is to thank him for the favour you see. Because I'm sure that people who see the favour of God and who see it in increasing measure are those that do say thank you when they've seen it. Who do appreciate all the different aspects of how it is. And when we don't see what we hope to see, don't think God's turned his nose up at you and walked away. Ask him what he wants to show you instead. Because I think if God's not doing the things we ask him to do, there's a reason for it. And I think he will tell you and he'll show you and he'll begin to express it. So like if I don't get my car parking spot there and I've got it somewhere else, maybe I need, the question I've got to learn to ask is, why here, Lord? What have I got, you know, what have I got to see? Who have I got to meet? What have I got to do? Do you know what I mean? And I think all sorts of things, because we don't see it at the beginning, do we? We don't see what God's plans are all the time. So shall I pray? Father, I thank you that this is a time of your favour. It's not a time as in this month, this year, this decade even. It is a time of favour that you have declared over your people, over the earth. And I thank you that we're part of it. I thank you that every one of us here has experienced your favour at different times in different places. Sometimes we're very aware of your favour. Sometimes we're not so aware. But I just want to pray, Father, as you've been doing with me over these last few months, that you will just turn up our awareness of where we are benefiting from your favour. Father, we thank you that in your favour you sent Jesus to this earth, that you sent Jesus to die for us, that we might be able to step into a relationship with you again, to walk without sin, walk in freedom, to discover who we are, and to serve you and to worship you and to live our lives for you. And thank you, Father, that you want us to prosper. But I thank you, Lord, too, that you don't want us to prosper above our relationship with you. And so I just want to pray that your favour would fall upon us, would be upon us, that we would enjoy your favour and see more of it and be able to share your favour with those people around. So just take my bumbling words, my jumbles of thoughts, and stir the hearts and the spirits of these folks here, that they may discover a little more about your favour too. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.